Shore Talk, the sound of yachting world. Matt Sheehan reports from Valencia and talks to the father of modern race yacht designs, Bruce Farr. We start with the obvious question, his take on the current America's Cup trends.
I think what we see with that's common with Alinghi and Team New Zealand and the newest boat from Prada is that they've all tried to pack a lot of volume into the bow of the boat, presumably to try to extend the effective length of the boats. But they've done it in different ways. I think on one side you have Alinghi, which is very generally full in the bow, but has quite soft section shape. So the whole bow is reasonably soft. You can't see corners and discontinuities. Whereas with both Team New Zealand and Prada, they have very hard bilge sections and longitudinally have corners in the profile, doing it in a quite different way. And I think the hard corner approach probably works better in specific conditions like fully healed, whereas the more round approach might be better in big waves closer to upright. And the big question in my mind is whether being that full forward, which presumably looks okay in flat water, still works in waves, and especially small, relatively small waves that are sort of typical of spectator chop and early sea breeze waves at the beginning of a race.
That's an interesting point, because a lot of people have sort of, in talking about this venue over the last few years, have assumed, because it's generally lighter than maybe the conditions they're used to, that it's a flat water event. And yet actually a lot of what I hear from other people is that that's, like yourselves, is that it's not the case, and that there are waves and it's not a flat water.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple of things that I suppose are a surprise about Valencia is that the last couple of years it hasn't turned out as windy as promised or initially indicated. And the second thing, I think, is that the wave conditions can often be quite awkward. And part of that, I mean, I think there's several factors there. One is that the waves are often not aligned with the wind. There's a lot of washback from the breakwaters here that confuses the sea, especially when you're down close to the starting line. And there'll be a big spectator fleet here, as much we know. And so I think in a typical sea breeze place where the breeze is relatively light at the beginning of the race, you can have a lot more chop than is appropriate for the amount of wind that you have compared to a lot of other sea breeze places that you might sail a boat.
Mm. Now, one of the other things that you mentioned earlier on was that the teams that you've been talking about appear to be pushing the length forward. They're going for longer boats further forward.
Well, trying to maximise the effective length relative to the rated length. I mean, the boats all have, you know, relatively similar volume at the girth station, which is just forward of the waterline ending. And, you know, and there's some logic that says if you thrust volume into the bottom of the boat immediately behind there, you can extend the effective length. And the question is, does that really reduce the drag? And does it reduce the drag in flat water but not in some wave conditions? And I think one of the other things that we've seen is that some of the computational fluid dynamics programs push you in that direction with more volume in the front of the boat, but sometimes that doesn't play out in a towing tank even in flat water, let alone when you test in waves. And so, you know, you look at some of the boats and you know, without naming names, you look at some of the boats and say, ah, looks like a CFD boat. You know, using CFD that has some bias, and that's really been one of the things that we've tried very hard to understand during the last cup and do something about during this cup cycle, is to understand what the weaknesses of the CFD are and cure them in this cycle. And you know, we're not 100% there, but I think we've got much better tools, substantially better tools than we had in the last cycle, and codes that we've actually developed a lot of confidence in. And one of those codes we actually developed within our office. We took an existing, very sophisticated code and basically developed it to make it work properly for these boats, and we've actually, ultimately, although it was a long development process, we've been really surprised how well it can predict the drag of the boats and the lift of the boats compared with, say, tank testing. And that's generally not the case. Generally, you see biases between the codes and the tank, where the code, for instance, would optimize to a different LCB and a different prismatic coefficient than you find in the tank. And we finally got actually a couple of different codes that have very good correlation with the tank, which give us a lot more confidence to not only use them but actually rely on them rather than just pretend to be relying on them. And they can still produce the pretty picture too, which used to be the most important use of them.
Definitely. The other thing that surprised me looking at the four of you, when I say the four of you, that's
including Alinghi.
The Kiwis, Luna Rossa. One would think that because the rules are becoming more and more refined, and it's gone through like five iterations so far, and everybody talks of being squeezed into the corner, then it was not very surprising to see that three of the four, those big four teams, seem, of their two boats, they seem to be developments on a theme. You can see little differences, but essentially it's a broadly similar idea. When you go to Luna Rossa, the two boats are radically different. Were you surprised to see that?
No. Because I think a lot of the teams coincidentally were exploring harder build shapes and that sort of thing, and you know, we did work on that, and the one thing that really stuck out from that work was that you've got huge differences in the lift and the drag in different conditions, say upright versus heel, slow versus fast, those sort of things. And so you could look at those things and say, you know, wow, there's some good in there and there's some bad in there, and depending on what you had before, you might be influenced as to whether it's overall better or worse. So I think they went, and they probably maybe had a long way to come too, and they used to have quite soft hulls, so that was kind of their starting point, and then they did some of these boxy boats and decided that they seemed to be pretty good, and obviously took a fairly extreme solution. We explored boats as boxy as that, but could find better ones, and basically backed away from there into a different place where we thought we had a better solution. You know, and that boat really, you know, it is the definition of the box that it came in, almost.
But do you think that having two extreme boats, do you think that would present more of a risk for a team? I mean, is it more extreme? Or can you just not do anything to the boats anyway?
I don't think it is necessarily, because I think the one thing you learn from this time round is that you can have boats that are dramatically different looking in their style and they go the same.
Yeah.
So you could have two boats that look completely different, but they actually have, you know, not only the same overall performance, but they might have identical performance across the range of conditions. They've just got different things trading off among the characteristics. And it's a bit like the wide narrow combined with long short bowl. You know, a wide boat with a short bulb and a narrow boat with a long bulb, and you actually have almost the same performance all the time. So, you know, I guess, you know, in sort of simplistic terms, there's different ways of skinning the cat, but you might end up with the same answer in terms of performance. So, you know, I don't think they need to have concern about them in terms of having two different style boats. Hopefully they know the differences. So if they're testing something, they can overlay those differences to understand whether something else they're doing is better or worse. And I guess if you'd seen 98 alongside 87 Mark I, you'd say, oh boy, those two boats are different. But in the meantime, we've updated 87 with a lot of the design features that are in 98 to the degree that was possible with the 50% rule. And they're boats with relatively similar characteristics.
And you mentioned also that you chopped the bow off and you've done some full-scale testing. Is that any different to what you might have done before in previous cups? Or
could have. Yeah, and we have done bow variations on boats before. I think probably the difference this time was we're doing it for different reasons. We were doing it to try to understand if we could produce boats that did better in waves. Because all the CFD and tank work, which is flat water work, you know, we're showing there was some degree of fullness in the bow that was good in terms of reducing drag, and it wasn't, you know, but it was hard to see whether it was good or bad in waves. It generally looked okay in big waves, but you weren't sure about the small sloppy stuff. So you just make a change on the boat and see how it changes it. You know, if you can measure it, you learn something. If you can't measure it, you learn that it doesn't matter much.
Was there any restriction on, obviously during the cut period, there's a restriction on how much you can change the boat. Remind me what restriction there is, has been in the previous 2 years as to what you can actually cut away on a boat.
50%. This time around you change up to 50% of the surface area of the boat.
Join us again for more Shore Talk with Matt Sheehan in Valencia. Shore Talk is an Airwaves media production for Yachting World.